Alright folks, we're back, and this time I'm reviewing Reign of Madness, and alongside me is Karthik Lalit, who's... What was your question?
Why am I relevant to a book chat was my question.
The reason behind it is, and I'll explain it to everybody over here, is that usually Karthik is the one who does sports with me. He does Formula One, he does...
I don't know Formula One. I do Fight Talk with you.
All right. He does Fight Talk with me. But, you know, you follow Formula One and everything. He read the book. I recommended this book to him, and he read both the books, Free the Darkness and Reign of Madness by Kilcade.
Awesome books.
Yes. And I wanted to have you on board, because we really liked the first book. We really, really liked the first book. And we liked the second book too. So I wanted to have a normal reader's point of view rather than basically, you know, two authors disseminating this book. Because we can't criticize this book. I can criticize this book a bit. But what does the reader think about it? And how does the reader feel about it? That's why I wanted to have you on board.
All right. I have another question. This is a serious episode?
No, none of our episodes are serious, man.
Ah, good. That's liberating.
All right. Reign of Madness by Kilcade. The book starts where the last book took off. We speculated earlier that he's written these two books together. In this one, we actually see it, that it starts off from the chapter you left it on. You know, there is no break in there. And I feel there is an abrupt start to the book.
Not really, if you did what I was doing, which is I read them back to back. And that, again, made us think that, you know, this could be two books, which were originally supposed to be one book, and then the writer simply went back at it and added way more.
Yes, yes. But you do see the point where I felt that this book just abruptly started. Like, there is no... There were no explanations. There was no... there was no... You know, there was no build-up. It just starts with the nobles coming in, because that's what we knew was going to happen. And it just... Boom. Here we go.
Well, there was a brief period... See, the first book didn't end off on that high or crazy a note, all right? There were revelations happening and a lot of questions being raised by the time the first book wound up. And it wasn't really much of a wind-up either. I mean, to your point, if this book didn't get off very well, the last book didn't end with a definite end. There was no such thing. In fact, even this one, as it ends, there is no definite end to it.
What if you're not reading them both together? Then it's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that it's a problem. It's a very... first of all, it would be a terrible cliffhanger. And, you know, as a reader, that comes to my head first. You know, what is the author leaving me at? With some books, like, say, The Night Side, there is no cliffhanger. Every book has a definite end, and every new book has a definite beginning. So you're not really waiting that hardcore for it.
Did you bring Simon R. Green, The Night Side, to this conversation? The Night Side. All right. Oh, I don't see...
I was just drawing a comparison. Not to bring that in, less like... It's more like the first book ends in a way that is like, you know, you just have to start the second right there. You can't not start the second. And if you don't have a second, then the first thing a reader would see is the goddamn cliffhanger. And that kind of cliffhanger is tough, because then everybody's after the author's Facebook page, Twitter page. You know, when's the next one coming out? I really want to know. I mean, I was pretty glad he said it's coming out next month, because that's the kind of book it is.
I don't know. Somebody speculated that. I can't say for sure. All right, so about the book. Leaving the start aside, there's a huge journey which is happening. A huge journey where they're stuck on a ship. Now, half of the book is dominated by that. And there is interplay. There's very little politics. Mm-hmm. Because they're like stranded away from everything. But there's a lot of interplay between the characters, which was interesting, but didn't it lag?
Not really. I wanted to know the interplay between the characters. That's something he didn't build on as much in the first book. you had interplay between Sam, Trisha, and Reskin in the first book, but you didn't have much between him and the nobles. And
but they're dumb. Sam, Trisha.
Yeah, they are. And the nobles are far more, you know, I would say, attentive to the nuances happening around the other person, because that's what they are supposed to be caring about. So that interplay, in my mind, gave Reskin a lot more depth as to who he is, the kind of person he is, the kind of things he is willing to do, which in the first book is pretty much left to this guy can do anything. He is the assassin. But, you know, in the second book, it's more of this guy's a person too, and we're learning more about him. So as far as the interplay goes, I was very happy with it, because some of the characters flipped completely during that period. It gave them depth too. Like, look at Tyrion. Tyrion was this noble douchebag, and he turns into this... do we give spoilers in these?
No, we don't.
Okay, so he turns into this pretty good guy, and somebody you can rely on. I mean, that is a spoiler in and of its own self, but there is more, trust me.
Yeah, it's really hard doing this without spoilers, isn't it?
Yeah, you just complicated the shit for me. But anyways, it's still, you know, that depth was required. I don't think it was much of a lag.
Okay, about this, I like this book's end. Compared to the last one, I love this book's end. It comes at a crescendo. You know, the last book just leaves you sort of sappy. This one leaves you with a crescendo, where a lot of action is happening. Okay, the second half of the book is complete action. There is a tournament going on, and obviously, Reskin, our main lead, has to join it. This is a conversation
that
I had.
In and of itself is a goddamn spoiler, dude.
No, it's not. This is a conversation I had with Ritu Lalit. So that this is, you know, there are so many cliched points of it, of the book, but it still works.
There is a reason for that. It's just this character is so bloody mysterious and so different. You don't see many of these characters. I mean, yeah, you could possibly say there's been a lot of assassins who've been completely emotionless in books, and that has been done before, but it hasn't been done quite like this. Or maybe it has. I don't know. There's nothing new under the sun. But this kind of interplay in this kind of world with these kind of politics happening. Now, there's a lot of this and these over here. Let me just elaborate. The kind of interplay over here you see between this blank page of an assassin and the people around him in the world, as he calls them outworlders, the kind of politics you see in the kingdom, where the previous king was this benevolent god and the new king is this tyrant who can pretty much make everything rot and he's working very actively towards doing it. And this guy who is somebody very important, who you don't know who he is, and because of what I've told you right now, you can possibly draw speculations, but that's the thing. That mystery keeps you going. It's been played at very well. It's been touched at very well. I feel it keeps you, you know, wanting to ask all the questions and, you know, gives you sufficient answers, yet not all of them, in such a beautiful way that it keeps you hooked to the book. And it has depth, because these kind of books generally don't.
Yes, I agree. But here's my point. He's the best, he's the most dangerous man on the planet. Obviously, he will showcase his skills on this bloody tournament.
That was an obvious one, but...
Yeah, it's cliched.
Cliched, but...
He's the most dangerous man on the planet. He will protect everybody he can. Cliched. Those cliched points... Last time, I told our viewers that this feels like a Nickelback song. It's got formula, formula, formula. It works. And we all can enjoy it. But the book, while saying that, this book adds a major depth, which the last book was missing.
Yeah, it does. You were going to say something about it.
This book also, you know, like, this book adds depth. But this book could be more. This book could be so much more.
It really could be three books written as one, you know?
No, with the same story, I see Brandon Sanderson doing something really very in-depth. Or even Jack Campbell, you know? doing something more, adding a nuance element. You had a criticism for this book that Kelkade follows the main lead too much.
Yes. Now, again, the two authors you just named there, Brandon Sanderson and Jack Campbell, they break from their primary character, or in Jack Campbell's case, they have two very well-defined primary characters. And they, you know, they give you different points of view, which helps you form an idea of the kingdom it's based in. To your point of it could have been more, it could have been more. It could have been more political. It could have been more, you know, you could have known more about the kingdom. You could have known more about, hey, what the hell is this Cadian dude that we keep hearing about? You know, or what is his personal guard like? What are the people around him like? You know, every bad guy in the book is pretty much the stereotypical bad guy. He couldn't have had one bad guy simply because of political reasons. I mean, there had to be something more, a slaver in some cases, or, you know.
Here's the thing, he's doing this in third-person narration. In a first-person, I'm sorry, in a first-person narration, you do get stuck. You don't know how to portray it from a different point of view. That's where John Scalzi, takes in Old Man's War, takes another character and writes his first-person narration. Here, he's doing it from third-person narration. He can actually go ahead and explain it, but he follows Reskin too much.
And he follows what you expect of a... what you expect in a stereotype. He follows that too much. Now, I suppose we can talk about the first book a little over here. Remember the Marquis's son and the Marquis?
Yes.
It wasn't just that the person was a pain in the ass and needed to be removed. No, the person had to be a bad ruler. The person had to be, you know, a bad dude overall. He had to, you know, his kingdom was in poverty. His area was in poverty. And he sucked overall. So the guy had to die. And
I love your explanation. He sucked overall.
I mean, it's just like your bad guys are such perfect bad guys that there is no doubt about the fact. The same way with the king. He's already proven himself to be an asshole on more than 5 counts. I mean,
there goes my clean rating.
But he's already, you know, he's just the bad guy. There could have been more. There could have been nuances. There could have been, you know, some difficult choices that the guy has to take. Some more difficult choices, because we love torturing our main leads. And there could have been some points of view from, say, Tam or Frisha or...
Yeah. You mean there is no grey in the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I thought he had this great idea and he dumbed it down for the young adult audience or the teen audience. I felt that.
Yeah, it's more of a college level book.
Yeah.
I would say. I mean, something I would enjoy possibly in that time gap. Like right now, if I'm reading Brandon Sanderson and if I have the next Brandon Sanderson in my hand, I would put Kelkade down and wait for it and then pick it up later.
Yeah, and you wouldn't miss much.
I wouldn't miss much.
Yeah. And it will be fun when you started it.
Yep.
So let's come down to rating. Let me ask you, like always, what would you rate it as?
How much out of are we doing this?
Five.
Out of five. I would give it an honest 4, I suppose. Yeah.
Yep. I think it deserves it. Me too. 4. It deserves it. I see a lot of 5-star ratings. I see a lot of 4.5-star ratings. Goodreads has it at 4.5, but I think it's a good 4, solid 4. There are places where it lacks, where we actually broke it down. You did a pretty decent job, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Should I have him on more book reviews? Shouldn't I? Yeah. All right. That's enough from you.
I feel bad for all the listeners who are possibly listening to this and didn't see that.
All right. That's Karthik. I'm Ishan. And we'll see you next time on
see
the Book Chat. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.